Rico.
Every year, at the end of October, people around the world celebrate the holiday known as Halloween. Traditionally celebrated by dressing up as your favorite ghouls and ghosts, the holiday actually has a long and storied past. The roots of this candy-filled celebration of terror go far back into the history of Celtic tradition, where the holiday was known as Samhain, and was a time where the world of the spirits and gods would cross over into the mortal plane. From that time, the holiday has gone through many transformations to become what we see today. But is there something more sinister that brought the holiday into the American mainstream? What part did Big Candy play when it came to the popularization of trick-or-treating? Even more interesting, is there evidence that there has been some sort of unholy plot to reduce the size of Halloween candy over the years? Join the theorists as they bring you full-size Kit Kat conspiracies on The Story of Halloween. Disclaimer, in this case file, I mispronounced the Celtic holiday Samhain as Samhain. Just go with it. Also, while we're on the topic of mispronunciations, a concerning number of our listeners seem to believe Braden, spelled B-R-A-D-E-N, is pronounced Brandon or Brendan. I'd like to take this opportunity to let everyone know it's pronounced Craig. Thank you.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 114, All Hallows Eve. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
I'm Andrew.
Booyah. Woo. Oh, Dan took over the whole screen.
Ah, Mega Dan.
Yes, as it should be.
We call that Mega Dan.
It's Dan here, live on the fly.
Well, it's just all being like
Zordan
being put into proportions of what everybody fucking contributes. So it's just a big face, just big Dan.
Especially if you're listening to this one. Little special Halloween episode, everyone's favorite holiday coming up. But before we get into the origins of Halloween, why don't we mix things up a little bit and get right into some space news?
Boom. Space news.
I'm loving that new graphic. This is just...
Oh, buddy, you should just wait. You see what's coming. It's going to be a surprise. We got graphics. We got video makers.
Oh, damn. We made it.
Classing it up a bit.
Yeah. NASA Europa mission?
Europa?
I think I said Europa.
Europa?
I'm two Caesars deep. A NASA Europa mission could potentially spot signs of life, but in very tiny text under that heading is, but it's a long shot.
But it's a long shot.
So basically they're looking at Jupiter's moon Europa. I think Europa?
Europa.
I think I'm saying it right.
Europa.
And they think there might be life swimming in the dark, frigid oceans. And NASA is... going to try to find it. So the Europa Clipper spacecraft is scheduled to launch mid-2020 on a mission to characterize the icy moon's subsurface sea and its life-hosting potential. So another interesting. So there's ocean. There's water.
Calling it right now. Space mermaids.
Space mermaids?
Space mermaids.
Is that, is that still the best of both worlds or... Now we're
a little surf and turf, yeah, as Dan says.
Surf and turf.
But yes, best of both worlds.
I think that was my favorite part of mermaids. Yeah. Is that what people say? No, no one says that.
No, absolutely nobody says that.
I like that too. I was like, because it's a thinker. You're like, is it the best? You're like, no, it's 100%. It's not.
It is not.
Just the fish bottom's the worst. Like, the worst. What?
Fish.
For all the people that were giving me shit, I'm not into fish bottoms.
But if you were, I mean,
there's not that there's anything wrong with
not
that.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
No, you said it on the podcast. You recorded it. It's canon now.
Oh, fuck. Smoke from California's fast-moving wildfires is visible from space.
Man, those fires are crazy.
That is watching, crazy.
It's watching, crazy literally right watching the world burn.
Yeah, anyone, any of our listeners in California, we got a ton down there. Make sure you're staying safe. All our well wishes are going out to you guys, anyone that's evacuated. But it's crazy. You can look at the satellite photos of just the insane amount of smoke coming out of Northern California.
Yeah, man, it's. It seems like fire season should be over, but nope.
Fire don't care about seasons.
Nope, it doesn't give a fuck.
Fire don't give a shit.
No, it's well, like, it's a little different there than I think here. It's just like, what is it, 20 degrees there? It's like fuck, cold and rainy here now.
Yeah, it just doesn't ever rain. I guess it's such fucking so dry. One little spark and then massive winds and the whole thing just explodes.
We got the mystery U.S. space plane lands, ending its 2-year mystery mission.
X-37B.
Was it flying for 2 years? Like it was in the air for 2 years?
Yeah, it was up.
Unmanned space mobile.
Just floating around. Doing whatever secret but stuff it's doing. Poking the black knight or whatever. I don't know whatever it's doing up there.
Poking the space blanket.
Space blanket.
So a lot of people say the Black Knight is.
Space blanket.
Yeah, that's how you debunk that one. There was a mission and they lost a space blanket and it was stuck in orbit and they took one picture of it, but it actually fell down a few weeks later and it's been an anomaly ever since. No one can really find it anymore.
It's a space quilted blanket is the official.
Not a quilted blanket. one of those foil blankets. Some type of
that's
wrap.
What you take to space is the quilted blanket.
Well, I don't know. I've never been.
Standard issue NASA. Standard
that's
NASA
what I was
issue.
Like, you know the little blanket. Diamond the like with the little diamonds everywhere. That's what I was thinking in my head.
Anyways, this is the X-37B. That's what it looks like.
Right, unmanned aerial craft. It's actually the second one. I don't think it's not the first one. That's the second one. But that one broke the record for being the longest in orbit. Just up there doing stuff. I think it was actually doing some experiments and stuff. I think somebody, there were reports that it was doing mostly kind of it's top secret, but mostly it was like testing out the capabilities of the certain materials that it was made of. And just seeing what the wear and tear is like on an unmanned aerial, an unmanned spacecraft. If you left it up there that long, what would happen to it?
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't really look like that fancy of a craft. Like it's kind of. It kind of looks like a small, like old space shuttle. It's like, what do you think it is? 30 feet long?
Oh,
I think it's bigger than that.
Well, probably 100,000 candy bananas.
let me tell you something for Pod Week. That's all.
It's our standard measurement now.
I put in a bulk order of candy bananas for Pod Week.
Everybody's gonna look jaundiced after.
I just be fucking throat puking our guts out. I'll have diabetes and shit.
I'd rather play fucking Ouija than eat McCormick's candy bananas.
Hey, you watch your mouth.
That's the truth.
Don't badmouth our only sponsor, unofficial.
Unofficial sponsor.
What? I thought Octavia Vodka backed out.
Yeah, they've been out. Hey. They've been out for 5 years.
Yeah. They've never been in.
You know what? As I'm driving through, I should stop by my uncle's distillery and be like, "Hey, we need some more Octavia vodka for the podcast."
100%, man. Last time we got into that, it was magic.
What was it called? It was like it had the best tagline too. It was like
embracing something of the night.
With the fire of the night or some shit. It's awesome.
People are gonna think we're taking ads, but. If you haven't listened, that goes way back to the early days.
Yeah. That was like podcast number 3, probably between 3 and 7, 100%.
I don't know. It was, yeah.
Any other space news?
Yeah, NASA releases a Halloween pumpkin in a version of the sun. Show you guys. It's just a picture of the sun that looks kind of like a jack-o'-lantern. But it's pretty cool.
Like, is that a reel or they like edited it?
I'm sure that's heavily edited, but it looks cool.
100% real.
Badass.
Sun is a jack-o'-lantern. Cool. Our sun is actually a giant pumpkin.
It looks cool.
The great pumpkin.
It looks like a smiling pumpkin, smiling jack-o'-lantern. I don't know what the picture was snapped by the space agency's Solar Dynamics Observatory satellite and shows the sun in ultraviolet light. So that's, yeah, definitely not visible. So looks cool though.
I wonder if people who work at the solar observatories ever take the chance to just be like, oh, what do you do for work? Oh, I stare at the sun all day.
Like, probably that's probably the 100%. Only joke they make, Dan.
God, I just like the whole place just groans. You just hear them all like,
ugh. 100%. Any other space news, boys?
That's all I got.
Well, let's get into a topic at hand. Halloween. It's that time of year, the spooky season.
Halloween.
Super spooky. Right?
Not so much. But
that's how my Halloween works. I don't know.
Yeah.
And just says super spooky.
American Halloween is different from Canadian Halloween. Yeah. Ours is spookier.
Yeah, just yeah. The only thing different is our Halloween costumes always suck, so we have to wear jackets over top of them.
Yeah, jackets over top or like
Spider-Man with a jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go as the Michelin Man or like the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
Pretty much.
And that's about it. Everything else looks ridiculous. It's too cold. Right. But where does Dan, why don't we run through where does Halloween, where did it get its origins? Origin story.
Well, the origins of Halloween go back hundreds, if not thousands of years, not hundreds of years. The original holiday was actually considered, it Halloween falls on October 31st, which for many Celtic cultures from where it comes from,
first off, I love how you gave the date. Just so everyone's aware.
Well, you don't know. Maybe some people don't know after October 31st. But I'm saying October 31st was generally considered the end of summer for some, for a lot of Celtic cultures. It's the end of summer and kind of the beginning of the fall, winter kind of.
Yeah, it's like the end of the light season and the start of the dark season. They kind of talked of it as.
Yeah.
From now on, there's less light than darkness.
Right. So, the original holiday was called Samhain. Now, Samhain at that time they would have a festival where they would have kind of the summer bounty that they had from all their harvests and things like that. So people would kind of occasionally make sweets or types of food and things like this. And, people would come together. It was considered also a time when they call it like a liminal time where the veil between the spirit world and the living world was at one of its like thinnest. So people would kind of have this belief that, relatives who had passed on could come back and visit, spirits, sprites, fairies, those kinds of things could be sighted around this time of year. And so it kind of lends itself to kind of that spooky stuff kind of starts all around then. So now, because Christianity loves to make its holidays around everybody else's holidays, there's actually a Christian holiday around that time, or the Catholic Church has its All Souls Day and its All Saints Day, which originally I think it was only All Saints Day, but then they broke it into two at some point. And so All Souls Day or All Saints Day falls on like October 31st, like, and like November 1st is All Saints Day, or it's November 1st and November 2nd. And basically they kind of ended up like merging the two holidays. So you would have them kind of celebrate in the same way that's kind of how it became popular in other places besides just in like Celtic regions, is that you would have, it kind of coincided with that idea that All Saints Day, you celebrate and you celebrate the people who passed on who were, baptized Catholics, whereas All Souls Day was a time to honor all the people who were stuck in purgatory, which is weird, kind of.
Now, purgatory is like not quite hell, but it's like somewhere in the middle. Not quite as fiery, but half
it's kind of just the meh. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. Not eternal happiness, not eternal damnation, just eternal meh.
The DMV between heaven and hell.
but you're stuck there forever.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well,
I guess same. So for a long time, it was only really the Halloween that we recognize today, the whole trick or treating, all that stuff. That stuff didn't really actually come around until. Until
like Big Candy took over.
Until Big
Big Candy.
Until Big Candy took over. Which is technically.
Hold on. Time out. Can we go back and rename this case file 114 Big Candy? Big Candy.
That was my jumping off point for this whole episode, where I was like, you know what? I bet fucking Halloween is just a conspiracy to sell more fucking candy, just like Valentine's Day. Day isn't a fucking real holiday. It's like, how did they figure this? How did they pull this one? You know? So that's what I tried to look into first. And, but I did find out some fun stuff about this, that actually candy was never really considered a gift to give out during like All Souls Day, All Saints Day. Candy companies never really thought of Halloween as their big moneymaker holiday. Before, say like the 1950s, the big candy holidays were Christmas and Easter. Those are the two biggest candy kind of days. And it wasn't until like the 1950s, after the point where, as Andrew so eloquently put it, Big Candy, succinctly put it, Big Candy figured out how to produce candy and the quantities where it was, you know, cheap to make, and, you know, and you were able to make a lot of it. So,
wait, okay, I got a question. So it went from like All Saints Day into All Souls Day. It was like a three night, 2 day event. What's Halloween? Why Halloween?
Well, I'm just saying that it was easy for them to kind of train, like the holidays line up. So when the Christians kind of like, they didn't get rid of, it wasn't like some pagan holidays where they totally got rid of some of them.
They absorbed,
you know,
it.
They kind of all took them over. They kind of absorbed, you know, what they like to do is they like to absorb the holidays. You know, you like, you have your Christmas, which kind of lined up with Saturnalia, which was like a Roman pagan holiday. And then you have other days. Like, I don't think what was the other big holiday? Like Easter, I think lined up with like the springtime festivals. It's not really the day. Like those days aren't the real days of when, well, like religiously, the religious significant events that they based them on or didn't actually happen on those days. Right. Kind of most of them were just, they used them to kind of bring people over, like, hey, join Team Jesus.
All right, here. Okay. I answered my question when I did a quick search here. So those 3 days, All Saints Day and into All Souls Day, was like done by like Christianity, also referred to as All Hallowtide. Ooh. And then so it became like you had like Hallow's Eve, blah, blah, blah. And then it slowly morphed into Halloween, I guess, is how we came to the name Halloween. That's what I was kind of wondering, like why Halloween, yeah. Right? And yeah. Then the origin of the candy was something done by like the church. It was called souling. And I guess people would go and like get cakes door to door. And then they would think that if they prayed enough, they would be able to raise souls into heaven. And that's where the first... it wasn't called trick or treating, but they called it souling. It was about like, it was like the mid 1500s. So they would go around, like, it wasn't just beggars, but a lot of beggars would go around and be like, sorry, like I'm hungry. But if you give me this, I'll pray for your dead and I'll try and raise them to heaven. And then eventually it kind of took off, and then, you know, probably, you know, drunk people probably took it over.
Well, I was, you know, it was all started by the Reverend Celtic. Fucking Nestle.
Yeah, I read about the Celtic Samhain traditions, and some of them were also, they involved like giving gifts and people going from house to house. And also, like, that day was kind of considered a day for pranking. It was a time for like to be silly and play tricks on people. So that was kind of like where the trick part came from.
Right.
I suppose. There's also a lot of stuff that mixes up. Cause I read a couple more than a few articles about the origins of Halloween, and a lot of like the kind of small details differ a lot. So there's kind of a lot of wiggle room with like the origins, but I think Samhain is like the big one. And then All Souls Day, All Saints Day. And then you get, Hallow's Eve. That's where we get Halloween from.
And then, 1500s is where it slowly starts to morph into like the more modern Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And then, so back to like the 1950s, where the candy companies figure, okay, we can make enough candy. How can we kind of start giving it out during Halloween? So I read that like when they started doing the Halloween packaging kind of ideas, like making their candy wrappers and stuff like that kind of a fit and kind of like a fall or an autumn motif. They actually didn't even do it for customers. They did it more for stores, like the stores to buy them, to buy these things. And then, so you had people really handing out these candies and stuff, but before like the 1970s, so like for like 20 years, people, at least from the articles that I read, like people were just handing out whatever. It didn't even, it could be, it was like, you could hand out toys, you could hand out like popcorn balls, you could hand out freaking, you know, if you're really shitty, you hand out toothbrushes, I guess, I suppose. You know, they would hand out anything. At one point, like Kool-Aid was the cool thing to hang out. So you could like hand out like packets of
just
Kool-Aid.
Just like a cup of, oh, I thought you just meant like, here's a cup of Kool-Aid, kid.
No, a handful. Like you would use
put
a
your
handful.
Hands
like
together
you just
and
dip your hand in there and throw
fucking
it in
powder in your hands.
That's how I would do
no
it.
No sugar, just fucking oh, Kool-Aid yeah. powder.
but yeah, for like till the 1970s, till about around like the 1960s, 1970s, that's what they would do. You would just give anybody anything. It wasn't until I guess like the 1970s, that individually wrapped candy became a thing because there started the urban legend. That's around where people trace that urban legend that people were putting razor blades or fucking arsenic in their candies. And I think one of the main events that caused that was they said there was an actual story. There was an actual like altercation where they caught this lady putting arsenic in some of her candy and that she was planning to give out to teenagers, like teenagers who weren't supposed to be trick or treating. They're too old to be trick or treating.
She had a, she's like, ooh,
no chance. No chance. That was fucking all made up by somebody's parent. To fucking just dabble in their candy. I gotta test it. I gotta make sure there's no
that's
fucking poison
happened.
In there.
That's what happened.
I think there was
Robbo
also
used to
this
just take a little cut of his own.
Oh, always.
That was the dad tax. Right? The dad tax of like, these ones are tainted.
Yeah. You can have the fucking Krispy Crunches. That's it.
Yeah.
I love Krispy Crunches.
Not Krispy Crunches. It's a Coffee Crisp. Fuck Coffee Crisp.
I love Coffee Crisp.
Really?
Okay, hold on. Now that we're on the subject of big candy, I want to talk about a conspiracy that's happening right now. It started last year. I noticed it last year.
Real-time conspiracy.
It's getting out of control. Last year,
let's hear it.
The Nestle like 120 packs, which has the Aero, the Kit Kat, the Smarties, the Coffee Crisp.
Ew, fucking Smarties, gross.
Last year, started with the Aero bar. The Aero bar is now smaller than it's ever been before.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's big candy for you.
Big fucking candy.
This year, I noticed they're no longer giving out the full size Reese peanut butter cups.
The mini ones now?
Now they're giving the fucking Easter size ones out.
Fuckers.
The little tiny right? ones?
They're Wait. Slowly, big candy is slowly crawling back on our candy size.
Same price.
And if we don't do something right now, soon we'll just be eating like fucking little M&Ms and little Smarties. That's it. That's what
individually
they want.
Wrapped fucking M&Ms.
Right now.
If there's one movement that you need to be in on right now, it's the fight against big candy taking away our candy.
Fuck Big Pharma. It's all about big candy.
Yeah, we're switching our stance.
Let's be honest.
We're all against big candy now.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Charging us the same price. Same price for the small candy. What's next?
Yeah, they're crawling back the side where the prices aren't dropping.
No, they're not. They're getting more expensive.
More expensive. Less chocolate. It's insane. What's next? Kit Kat? We're only going to get a single Kit Kat next year.
You
watch.
You get a kit or a cat. You don't get both.
Or a cat. Separately.
Separate wrappers.
Separate wrappers.
It's, you know what? No, it's a fucking, it's between, it's some unholy alliance between big candy and big plastic. Because they want those fucking make those more fucking rappers. That's what it is.
Bastards.
All the bigs getting together here.
But that's my candy conspiracy.
That's a real conspiracy.
I noticed it this year. It was driving me absolutely crazy. Every time I crunch into, I'd like look at the Aero and I'd be like, man, Aeros used to be so full. Now they're like two little nipples.
That's probably the realest conspiracy we fucking talked about on this podcast.
It is.
That shit hits 100%. Home, man.
And the crazy thing to me is I'm like, because they're doing it slowly, like one chocolate at a time, they're trying to make it seem like we don't even notice.
Slowly pulling
like,
it.
They could easily, like, I guarantee you the coffee crisp is a little smaller than, I'm going to save a coffee crisp this year. I'm going to save one of each, and I'm going to measure for next year. That's it.
I'm holding you to that.
Put some size.
I want to see you store a whole box of this year's candy in your closet for a year and not eat it.
It'll last a week.
Done. I bought one of those 120 packs at the beginning. I bought them from like Costco, and I was like,
"It's gone."
Oh, I'm gonna buy this now to give out to kids. And I didn't eat it for 2 weeks, and I crushed it. I think there's like a couple
in a night.
She's gone.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She gone. She gone.
Those are like the good candies too. I swear to God, if any of our listeners, if you guys fucking give out candy corn, I hate candy corn.
If you give out candy corn
to kids, I hope your house gets haunted so fucking hard. Like that shit is gross.
Hey Dan, let me tell you. Give me the candy corns. Give me the marshmallows. Gross. Give me any
fucking nasty. I like the candy corn. I like them too.
What?
Candy corns are fucking good. Man.
Like, might as well just eat a fucking candle because that's what it tastes like. Just fucking wax.
You guys' houses are going to get fucking egged.
This is unbelievable. Send all your candy corn to Meteor Studios in Kelowna, BC, and I will take all of it.
Yeah.
Gross.
I won't even test them. If you're, whatever. Just send them. Send them an envelope. Doesn't matter. Delicious. Delicious candies.
Right, so where did we talk about yet where costumes come from? Why is everyone dressing up all the time?
Yeah, let's go through some of the traditions. Costumes. So the first
with the costume stuff that still also comes from Samhain. Like Samhain was a time to kind of dress up as like people would dress up as certain spirits or things like that. So I mean that's just always kind of been around, people dressing up like ghosts or you know, people who are ghosts, spirits, whatever.
It was that at the same time too. Like if you go to the more modern side at like the same as like when they were doing the cakes at the doors, people would dress up in black. So it started with like black robes and black costumes, kind of mourn the dead. As far as I could go back, that's kind of in the modern times.
It's more creepy than fucking costumes. People, yeah, a bunch people showing up at my door with a bunch of black robes on.
Asking for fucking cakes.
I had read that they like people would dress up so that wandering spirits and stuff would mistake them for one of their own and leave them alone.
Ooh, that's kind of freaky, actually.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Right?
Leave them alone or take them away with them. Like
you dress up as a fucking.
If you're, dress it's up like as, when you dress if you're a zombie and you like in zombie apocalypse and you dress like a zombie, they leave you alone because they don't want.
I don't think that works. I think that's totally inaccurate.
Bill Murray did it.
I think they try to pull that shit, and I'd be like, "You're stupid. No,
You get eaten.
Works for
sure.
Bill Murray in Zombieland.
He doesn't work with fucking. But the Huckleberry doesn't work with fucking bears, sharks. Try that with fucking them.
I think they got a little better nose than the zombies, I think, there, Dan.
Yeah. I don't know if there's ever been a situation of a man dressed as a bear getting attacked by a bear. Just saying, Dan.
I'm sure there's out there. I'm going to look it up.
Man dressed as bear.
It's mauled by bear.
I don't think that's a headline because I think it fools the bears.
I don't think so.
Attacked by bear. It's got to be. It has to happen.
You know there's been there's been four idiots since human history who have had the same conversation, and one of them has ended up in a bear suit.
Well, how do you know?
The woods.
If there was, it didn't make the news, or at least I can't find it right away.
Because nobody's stupid enough to dress up like a bear and then go try and hang out with a bear.
I think dressing up like a bear to hang out with other bears, or just not dressing up like a bear and hanging out with bears, is just as fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Those guys always end up getting eaten.
You shouldn't hang out with a bear. Everyone knows that.
No.
Yeah.
There are videos of those guys that hang out with the rescue bears. Those are kind of cool.
Yeah, but don't they always end up
fucked up too every now and then? It doesn't matter. We're not fucking with bears and we're not fucking with ghosts. Either one of them. It's not helping. But it's crazy to me that like that was a thing, is like that's how it started, and people like I wonder if there was ever like a legit like you need to dress up to fool the ghouls and the ghosts on this day, or they're gonna fucking fuck you up. Like that was
I think it was more fun. Like I think it was. Of course, I can't speak for like
I don't know, man. You got weird
medieval
people,
Celtic people
showing up in robes asking for cakes. calling it All Hallows Eve. Like, that's fucking spooky shit.
People are superstitious. I mean, yeah. I bet you they originally probably believed it pretty hard. Maybe not.
Spooky.
Okay, what about some other stuff about Halloween? What about
What about everybody's favorite jack-o'-lantern?
Yeah, where does
jack-o'-lantern? About where they come from?
The story of Stingy Jack.
Stingy Jack. It's actually a pretty good story.
It's a good. Well, it's a pretty funny story.
So the legend of Stingy Jack is where we get our jack-o'-lanterns from. Now, in this story, Stingy Jack is a character who is popular in Celtic mythology-ish legend lore, whatever. And this guy was kind of known as your roustabout, your kind of trickster guy that nobody really liked to have around and all that kinds of things. So legend goes that he was out drinking one night and apparently met the devil. And he told the devil to turn himself into a coin to pay for his drinks. And then after that, he would sell his soul to the devil, something to that effect. So the devil is like, okay, yeah, this is easy. So he turns into a coin to be spent on drinks, and Stingy Jack takes the coin, puts it in his pocket next to a silver cross, which traps the devil as a coin. Because I guess if you trap him next to a silver cross, you know, the Lord of Evil is completely powerless. So once he carries him around for a while, he tells the devil, he's like, okay, I will let you out. I will release you as long as you leave me alone for a year. Like, don't bother me for a year. So devil says, okay, devil agrees, you know, lets him out. Then the next year, the devil comes back. And so Stingy Jack tells him, oh, what is it? Did you guys read the legend too?
Well, I'd read a different, I'm not sure if this is the one you're talking about, the one where he tricks a devil up the tree.
Right, that's the second part. That's where he climbs a tree.
Stingy Jack, he tricks the devil up the tree. And while the devil's up the tree, he puts crosses around the tree.
I've heard two versions where it's like crosses around the tree, or he carved a cross, the sign of the cross, into the tree.
I don't know.
It's the same effect.
Same effect.
The devil gets stuck up in the tree and he can't come down. And Stingy Jack says that I will only let you down if you promise not to take my soul when I die. And so the devil, agrees. And so Stingy Jack, you know, gets out scot-free. But what happens is he ends up dying. And when he gets to the pearly gates of heaven, heaven says, no, we don't want you. You're an asshole. Like, nobody likes you.
You lived a shit life.
You lived a shitty life. We don't want you here. And so I don't know why you would do this, but he goes down to hell and he says, well, okay, like, they wouldn't let me into heaven. You should let me in here. And the devil says, nah, fuck you, dude.
Kick rocks, brother. Get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. But for your troubles, the devil gives him a red hot coal to carry around to light his way in the you know, land of the dead.
Throws him a hellfire coal.
Right. So in order to have something to carry the coal around in, the only thing that Stingy Jack actually was partial to turnips. So he hollowed out a turnip and he put the coal inside. And so he would carry around this turnip with the coal inside. And so that's the origin of the jack-o'-lantern, is that ancient Celtic people used to use turnips, not pumpkins. They used to use turnips.
Zell, pull up a picture of a Halloween turnip, because they are the fucking stuff
Halloween.
They are way
Holy
better than jack-o'-lanterns.
Fuck.
I mean, they look like
pumpkins.
Shrunken voodoo heads.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Terrifying, man.
Oh my God. What is this thing?
Yeah, throw one of those up.
Here, let's see what we got here.
Watching us live. They are, the little shrunken voodoo heads. They're terrifying. Like, they're absolutely horrendous.
That's one of them.
Like little Groots.
It does look like a fucking little Groot.
Like evil Groots.
Baby Groot heads, man.
Scary Groot.
There's some eviler ones. Let's find a better one than that.
Like, how did we ever get from that to carving out pumpkins?
Yeah, they're super gross.
So here's my question. Does the devil ever win? Like, he fucking lost the fiddle battle.
Yeah.
No, he lost the pick of destiny. He didn't have to keep fucking Stingy Jack in his fucking hellscape or whatever.
But he lost. He got stuck to a tree, so he lost originally.
Yeah, he's playing the long game.
That's fair. I don't know.
Look at these fucking turnips, man. These are...
Look at that.
Devilish.
So these are the original jack-o'-lanterns. It wasn't until Irish immigrants came over to the United States and discovered pumpkins and realized like, hey, these are way better than and cuter looking than these fucking monstrosities that we used to make.
Well, you know who started the fucking jack-o'-lanterns, right? Like the pumpkins.
Big pumpkins?
Big pumpkin.
Big pumpkin.
Fucking big pumpkin, man.
Nailed it.
It's true.
Bringing it all together.
Hey, you know what? It's true. There's a fucking huge... I wonder how many millions of dollars the pumpkin industry is. And all people...
I heard that those pumpkins, they're decorative pumpkins. I thought they were like just regular pumpkins, but they're actually decorative pumpkins.
They're a special GMO form of pumpkin that's just made for carving.
I mean, you can eat them.
Let's get into some big pumpkin here.
Right.
I just went to a pumpkin patch.
We should be calling it just Big Farm instead of Big Pharma and Big Pumpkin.
Oh, Big Farm. Yeah, 100%. 100% Big Farm, dude. I went in to Big Farm on the weekend. I posted a video of a trebuchet hurling pumpkins.
Trebuchet.
Potato.
He spelled it wrong.
Did I spell it wrong too?
You did spell it wrong.
That often happens on social media for us. We don't spell check.
That's autocorrect.
We don't spell check.
Yeah, I've been cool corrected a few times.
Yeah. So there's a lot of grammar police out there. They'll let you know.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They said
it encourages
that they raised $17,000 for charity up to the date when I had gone from the fall. So they're only open for people like mid-September to, I'm guessing, around Halloween. They just grow a shit ton of pumpkins. Everyone comes. You pick out pumpkins. They've got a pumpkin slide. They've got pumpkin pies. They throw pumpkins on the trebuchet or whatever.
Dan. Pumpkin. They call it pumpkin chunkin'.
Pumpkin chunkin'. And they had raised $17,000 from each ticket sold when you go in. And that's just a ticket. They have concessions. It's $10 to get a pumpkin, chunk of pumpkin.
Chunk of pumpkin.
Chunk of pumpkin.
Chunk it or chuck it?
It's pumpkin chunkin and you chunk a pumpkin.
Chuck it or chunk it?
That costs $10.
The fuck is chunking a pumpkin?
That's not included in the price. $17,000 just from admission. So a dollar from each person's admission goes towards charity. And when the day I was there, there was a sign that said they had raised $17,000. And I was like, $17,000? I was like, holy shit, the money they're raking in on pumpkins? I was like, this is crazy.
It's big pumpkin. Big
farm, baby.
Big farm, man.
Big farm, baby. It's insane. And what else? Name one other time. I don't see a pumpkin. I won't see another pumpkin from like November 15th. Until next fall.
I don't know.
Not one. Name one other use for a pumpkin.
Like you make pumpkin pie.
Ugh.
Yeah, but pumpkin pie is in the fall, but it's not
those pumpkins. Like those aren't the pumpkins you use to make pumpkin pie. You use a different type of pumpkin.
Well, listen, you're not having big pumpkin ones. Pie in for May. Sure. If you are, you're a psycho.
I'm having pumpkin pie any chance that's available to me.
You're a fucking nightmare person.
Yeah, I get you're having it any chance you get, but I'm telling you, those chances are limited between September and December.
I'm telling you right now, I can go to the pie store any day of the week and get a pumpkin pie.
I've never fucking tried it. I don't have any reason to try it.
Hold on. You never had a pumpkin
pie? Fuck no. If every time anyone's ever come up to me, like, hey man, would you like to try a slice of this delicious pumpkin pie? The last thing I ever fucking put together is delicious and fucking pumpkin. Pumpkin does not look good, smell good, anything to do with it looks like it's looks disgusting.
How do you know, if you never tried pumpkin pie, how do you know you don't like it?
Pumpkins are just, they're not going to taste good.
It doesn't even look or smell or taste anything.
It doesn't even taste like pumpkins. It
doesn't taste like pumpkin at all.
Then why is it a pumpkin pie?
Because it's made from,
I don't know, because it tastes like pumpkin, some sort of pumpkin spice. It smells like a pumpkin, maybe.
It's like cinnamon and brown sugar, and you blend it up and make this pumpkin puree, and you make this delicious pie.
It's only good with whipped cream or ice cream, though. If you have it by itself, it's god awful.
There you go. Fuck that. No thanks. I'd rather have a fucking like apple pie or some shit. Apples are good. You're never gonna fucking pick a fucking pumpkin and take a nice big juicy bite out of it. Fuck that.
True.
You heard.
I mean, they don't taste bad. They just taste like squash. Like they are a squash, so yeah. It just tastes like squash.
Squash is
sometimes
gross.
Squash is good. But you're not fucking spaghettiing a pumpkin.
Exactly. Spaghetti squash is bomb. Right?
You're not having some like shredded pumpkin pasta.
But technically, it is a pumpkin. I mean, the squash is squash.
It's a pumpkin squash. Same shit.
You could do like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it would like spaghetti out like the spaghetti squash.
Listen, I get what Andrew's saying. They're garbage. They're garbage pies. But what I'm saying is you can only get them in the fall.
You're incorrect. So incorrect. It's unbelievable.
All right.
Well, it's the only time they're useful.
Listen to me. I want you to go next May. Write it down. Get a pen out. Write it down. I want you to go in May, spring break, and I want you to walk into Save-On and go, give me a pumpkin pie. They're going to look at you and be like,
why does it have to be Save-On? Why can't I just go somewhere else?
Okay, any pie place.
Any pie place.
Mark it down.
You can't even get.
May 2020.
Have you never heard of a frozen pie? You can't even get fucking pumpkin spice frappalapa fucking chinos.
Yeah,
any other time than now. Like that's
I'm telling you, it's strictly a fall thing.
Okay, wait a second.
Strictly a fall. What about Christmas?
Yeah, okay, people have pumpkin pies in Christmas.
September, December, you can get pumpkin pies.
What about Easter?
When's Easter?
April.
April.
Yeah, you get a fucking pumpkin pie at Easter.
Pumpkin pies?
No, I don't think so.
Andrew, you don't know shit about pumpkin pie.
I don't think so.
Anyways, pumpkin pie. It's a heated topic around here. We'll put the spring pumpkin pie with the box of Halloween candy you're going to store in your closet and measure it for to next year.
Yeah. I'm going to weigh it too because I guarantee they're fucking micro screwing us.
Well, I agree 100%. If they're not giving you a full Reese cup anymore, that's some bullshit.
That's unbelievable.
Kids are getting ripped off this Halloween. I'm not buying any extra though to give the kids any like to make up for it. I'm not taking the fall for big candy.
Let's be honest. There's a lot of diabetes going around right now in our youth. It's probably a good thing.
You know, it probably is. That's fine. If they want to do it for health reasons, let us know and then charge.
Make
us
sure you wash your hands, folks. You don't want you getting any diabetes this year, this season. Get your diabetes vaccinations.
Very contagious.
Yeah. Don't touch the children.
Don't touch them.
Covered in diabetes.
They're gross.
Should we get into for Halloween here? Should we get into a little spooky story?
Spooky. You have to say it like that.
Sorry, Dan. Let's recut that. Should we get into a spooky story?
There you go. Yeah.
Sure.
Dan sent me the story of David Stone. That's a good one to go through. So, like, we talked about a little bit of the origins of Halloween, pumpkin pie, big farm, big candy. Let's get into a little spooky story. Dan, who is David Lawrence Stone and why is this interesting Halloween story?
Yeah, I brought this one up because I was kind of skipping around and I was looking at kind of like strange things that happened around Halloween. Now, because Halloween is a creepy time of year, a spooky time of year, as some people would say, you know, you try to look up kind of weird stuff. You always kind of hear that myth that like, and maybe it's not a myth. Some people have said it. Reports say it's a myth that there's no statistical statistical correlation that says that more crazy things happen on Halloween because it's supernatural or anything like that. It's just people think it does. But there are a lot of weird stuff that has happened on Halloween. Now, for example, David Lawrence Stone was a successful stock market analyst from La Jolla, California. Who at the time, friends of his and his family said that he was very into the kind of new age movement at the time, that kind of new age religion kind of stuff, you know, that is still around today. A lot of it is still around today. But they were all kind of big into the kind of pyramid power and, you know, spiritual spiritual enlightenment and all those kind of things. Stuff that's, again, still all around today. For years, it was reported that he had anger issues, and it kind of came to a head on October 28th in 1988, where he held a party at his apartment, and he got into an argument with one of his friends, and he actually began attacking this friend, like came to blows. After the altercation was over, David told his friends and family about his behavior and how it was unacceptable and what he was going to do. He's like, I need to go. He just said, I'm going to go on a walkabout to reflect on what he's done and his behavior. So he said he was just going to, you know, take a trip and be back in a few days. And, you know, so he took off to the last time he was seen was in, let's see, he was, this was like the morning of Halloween, 1988. He pretty much walked into the desert 145 miles east of Tucson, Arizona. And he was actually seen by a farmer walking down the dirt road at the time. And the farmer kind of said he had something strange to say. And when he asked him like what he's doing out there, David had said that he was looking for the beast. And then, you know, local residents around that time said they had seen him around in the desert, kind of acting strangely. People were reporting him talking to himself, just walking through rough terrain at the time. And so about 5 days later, his car was found abandoned. Along a stretch of the New Mexico Highway 80, about 14 miles south of Road Forks. Now, David's family and stuff, they believe that he went on a vision quest, that he was kind of, you know, he was into that kind of new age stuff and that was what he was going to do. I guess it was common in the kind of circles that he was going into. People kind of went on these vision quests of what they felt or what they believed Vision Quest to be. When the police went to go look for him, they discovered a couple strange, mysterious kind of things that he seemed to have left behind after he vanished. It's said that he left his car near some what seemed to be pyramid-shaped mountains. And in his movement, pyramids were a very important kind of symbol, the way that they are. I mean, they're a universal symbol for kind of enlightenment and, you know, stability and spiritual awakening and all those kinds of things.
Aliens.
And so.
Aliens.
Aliens, of course.
Thank you.
My bad. Should have just put that in there. So the they said that they tracked him northeast from where they found the car. And then toward what they said was Granite Peak. I don't know the area, so I'm not sure. But they found what he seemed to have constructed, pyramids of rocks surrounded by a triangle. And then on the next day of searching, they found another pyramid, a second pyramid. And next to this one was David's watch, which reportedly was a Rolex watch. So it wasn't cheap. It wasn't something you just leave there. And then it was in two quarters. So 3 miles to the north of that, they found a string of numbers written to the sand. And when they examined on further examination, they realized that it's a Fibonacci sequence, you know, so it's, you know, each number starting at one, you know, add together and it gets the next one, right? One plus one is two, two plus one is three, it keeps going like that. So of course you have, you know, numerology, Fibonacci sequence is important in numerology. It's where we get our, you know, it has relationships with the golden ratio, all those kinds of things. So again, those are all kinds of Fibonacci sequences also important in, like we said, like the pyramids are built to kind of to the golden ratio. They have those kinds of qualities with them.
Yep.
So now when David wrote his Fibonacci sequence, one of the numbers, when you get to it, is supposed to be 21, but he actually wrote 18. Strange. Hmm. Something that wasn't supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Right. So they had bloodhounds, they had tracking dogs while they were searching for David. And they said that they tracked his scent back to Highway 80. However, they stopped at an intersection between Highway 80 and Interstate 10. And this was 13 miles north of where they had originally found his car. So after this, they pretty much found nothing. They had no more clues to go on. They didn't find the body at the time. The only other clue that they found was a person's business card in a pocketbook Bible that had belonged to David. And they found this man. His name was Tony Ballesteros. And they interrogated him. Police interrogated him. But he said he had never claimed David. And he had actually been camping in the area with friends because it was also a popular place to camp. There's a camping ground there. And he said that his card must have just dropped out at some point, and just as the guy had been walking through the campground, he must have just picked up the card and put it in there. One of the most strange things and creepy and spooky things.
definitely spooky.
Spooky as fuck.
That of this case is that David left his parents, or David's parents said that they found a note that he had left, and it read something like this. They think the word is in the safe. Six knives in Rob's room. Use buys your tea and use take your chances. Halloween.
What?
Yeah. And he just happened to vanish on Halloween. Which makes that fucking note even eerier.
He paid the ferryman.
What?
You know?
He left the two quarters. You got to pay the ferryman.
So they the case is unsolved. On February 23rd, 1992, two hikers found David, what they identified as David's skeletal remains near Granite Gap in New Mexico. But that's it. They said there was no signs of trauma. They said there was no obvious signs that he had been hurt or he had gotten injured or something like that. And police pretty much chalked it up to he had died of prolonged exposure to the outdoors. So pretty much what they said is death by misadventure.
I love that. Yeah. So he went on a vision quest. He called it right.
Right.
So in my mind, this is what happened. Took about, I don't know, 20 grams of dried mushrooms. Got lost. Had a 14-hour trip. Passed out.
Died from exposure?
Died from exposure.
The problem is,
vision quest too hard.
That note is so weird, though. That note.
The note is weird.
Sounds like a guy in mushrooms wrote it.
Yeah, maybe.
They think the word, and word is in capitals. They think the word is in the safe. Six knives in Rob's room. Use buys your tea, and use take your chances. Halloween.
So he took some mushrooms, turned himself into Schmeagol, and started fucking writing notes.
Schmeagol!
You're still so tired!
Maybe he was drinking some like ayahuasca tea or some shit, and that's why he's saying you buy your tea, take your chances.
Also, I got way too many looks.
That's even more powerful.
I got way too many weird looks when I referenced the ferryman. Do you guys not know what that is?
Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
No, I didn't know what that was. That's
Greek mythology. That's why they really put the coins on your eyes when you die to pay the ferryman.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, to the underworld.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he didn't get found with coins.
Yeah, he didn't. Dan, didn't you say there was two?
Not no no.
Case. Holy fuck!
He left two quarters with his watch.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Two quarters and a Rolex,
okay,
man.
Okay, two quarters with the watch. He's lead. Well,
he probably took a fucking like a yacht.
A pyramid.
Then.
Okay.
He built two pyramids. So I'm saying he built two pyramids. He was searching for the beast. I'm saying that he built the two pyramids, wrote down the Fibonacci sequence, wrote the wrong number, opened up a portal, boom. You know, his consciousness ascended to a higher level, left the meat suit here.
Off he went.
What happened?
It could have been. A lot of people say, like, powerful psychedelics, that's the gateway to the next dimension. Maybe he just took just enough and he just actually got out. what was this guy's full name? David Lawrence Stone?
Stone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you type that into Google, it was also a Catholic priest that convicted of child molestation. So, two different stories.
When
I searched, I was like, "Wait, this is not what we're talking about."
If you type in David Stone disappearance, because it was on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries,
so. I don't doubt it
because it is unsolved.
Unsolved.
All right. Now, let's since this is a Halloween episode, we talk about origins of Halloween. Got a spooky story. Why don't we talk about some of the spookiest urban legends in each state.
What? Where did this
come from? To do all 50.
Where did this come from? All right.
I don't know. Dan sent me this thing and I was reading it. But I was like going through it and I recognized one.
State?
I was like,
we're going to be here for a while.
We're not going through all 50.
Okay.
Right? I was going to cherry pick a few.
Okay.
Like one is like, I remember Izel, I think you were the first person to ever tell me this story, about the goat man.
Goat man.
Oh, I used to tell the story.
That's a Maryland thing. That's near me.
I used to tell the story of goat man so much when I was a little kid. And I would make it up every time and change it.
Yeah. Let's hear your story of goat. I remember the first time I heard Zell's tales of goat man, we were probably 9 years old.
I probably haven't told it until I was 9 years old.
Let's hear it again.
I don't remember.
The tale of goat man.
You're the one telling me. I'm going to tell me the story of goat man. I don't remember the story of goat man at all, to be honest.
I remember you telling me that it had to do with.
Got caught in a log jam or something.
Caught in a log jam, yeah. And they sewed goat's legs.
So make your best story of what you think goat man is.
In a time.
Okay. Go ahead.
The year was 1922. Ooh. Michael Alexander was walking in a log jam when he tripped, submerging just from his kneecaps down into a fast-moving stream where the logs pinched his legs together, crushing them violently, splitting them in two. He crawled out. He crawled to the shore where he lay dying. What's it called when you... What's the technical term when you start losing all your blood?
Exsanguinate.
He started to exsanguinate on the side when a dark shadow appeared before him. Michael, he said, would you like to continue living? Michael couldn't speak, so the spirit said, I'll take that as a yes.
I'll assume yes.
So I will implied
consent.
He slightly moved his eyes left to right. That's a yes.
One blink. Okay.
I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a no.
It's not a no. For the rest of your life, in order to live, I'm going to sew these two goat legs. Don't ask how I got them. I'm going to sew them. I'm going to attach them to your body. But for the rest of your life, you will be alive, but all you can do is haunt the kids of these woods with your two twig-like goat legs. You can't jump though like a goat. You just hop. You just hobble. You hobble poorly through the woods.
You hobble like a man.
You hobble like a
goat legs,
like a crippled man.
His own legs.
So you can never catch the kids you're haunting because you cannot run. And that's the story of Goatman.
That's very similar to what I remember as a kid haunting me at 9 years old. And I was like, this is real? And he's like, yeah, I seen it.
I seen the goat man.
Would you make trotting noises when Braden fell asleep?
Yeah. He had the coconuts going.
I have no idea what the original story of Goatman is. I cannot. I have no idea.
That was it.
That's
it. I think that's
the new tale of Goatman.
That is now.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not even going to read what they say.
The guy blinked he blinked once and he condemned himself to an eternity of a shitty life. Shitty legs.
A fucking shitty life with goat legs is better than no life. I'll take it.
I guess so.
I'll take it.
So he only had goat legs. He didn't have the goat head.
I don't remember. I have no idea. Could be anything.
No, the goat head's a common misconception.
Yeah.
Because you see the goat legs and then your imagination does the rest.
It's true. Oh, right.
So he just hides in bushes with his like little hooves sticking out. He kind of shakes a bit.
No, he does this. He hides behind the bushes that are waist high. And he goes, hey, kids. Hey, fellow teenagers, you want to hang out? And they're like, yeah, come over. And then he steps around and then they run because he's got goat
legs. He had a goat head, I swear.
Yeah. And then he just, oh, man, but slumps back into the woods.
Anyway, that's I guess that's the story of Goatman. Put him on the spot there. I made one up there.
Spooky story.
I want to read, now that we know the true tale of Goatman, right. Some other... urban legends, some spooky urban legends that I'm going to cherry pick because they're my favorite, and just because of the names.
Okay.
Puck Wudgies.
The Puck
Wedgies?
Yeah. Puck Wudgies.
The Puck Wudgies. This is from Hockomock Swamp. What's MA? Maryland?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Tiny gray tricksters resembling humanoid porcupines will lure people off cliffs or trap them in the sand in the swampy regions of Massachusetts. That's a puckwudgie.
Little bastards. So,
everyone from Massachusetts, keep your eyes peeled for some puckwudgies.
So is puckwudgies on.
Dude, there's some good... I like this one. This is basically sounds like the story of I Know What You Did to Us Last Summer, but this one's called Cropsy. This is Staten Island. This escaped mental patient with a hook for a hand would snatch children in Staten Island. But the old legend became horrifyingly real when a killer named Andre Rand was caught in 1970s. Cropsy. It's not even fake. That's real. A real guy was just murdering people.
Real murder.
Just real murder. This one's a good one. Boo hags.
Are you saying boo hags?
Boo hags.
Boo.
Are you saying boo hags?
No, yeah, boo hags.
Boo hags.
This is in the southern coastal region, SC. I think that's South Carolina.
What, SC? Yeah, South Carolina.
Yeah. Folklore tells us about evil souls who stay behind after death and become skinless, vampire-like witches.
Ooh.
Who take other people's skins for a ride.
Ooh.
Ooh, I think that was an issue of Hellboy.
You could,
Buffalo Bill.
No, you could take that different ways. A ride? Like a spirit's raping
possession?
People?
Like in their like skin? Fucking,
yeah, that's what
like,
I assume.
Are we talking Buffalo Bill or are we talking possession?
Ooh,
or
I don't
sexual.
No, they
sexual
like take your skin and they wear it.
So they put the lotion on the skin.
And rip it off.
Gets the hose
so
again.
Was the beast from Jeepers Creepers a boo hag?
No, he didn't take skins. He took body parts.
Yeah, but I thought he had a skin suit at the end and he like stands in it with the little eyes, looks at himself.
No,
in the
eyes. He just takes the eyes. Like at the end of the first one, at least.
I skipped that one. Skin, that one. He takes body parts. Scary.
I got one. This one's great too. This is probably the most terrifying one.
Yeah. Okay, the most more terrifying than Goatman.
It's nothing more terrifying than Goatman.
The bunny thing. Or sorry, the bunny man.
Bunny man.
On Halloween many years ago, a bus of transferring asylum inmates crashed, with one of the inmates escaping. For years, skinned, half-eaten rabbits were found hanging from the trees near Bunny Bridge. Ooh. Even after the supposed culprit died, eventually he allegedly attacks humans too, bodies being strung up over the bridge. This is in Clifton. What's VA, Dan?
Virginia.
Virginia.
Virginia. That's Dan.
Oh, Dan. Dan is
yeah,
the bunny
no,
man.
I know about the bunny man. Like, I heard the bunny man story, like, back when I was in middle school, high school. I remember hearing about it. People would drive out to that bridge.
Why? Mm.
You could drive out
really
there. It's not that far.
Tempt
I don't,
fate
I think
with
it's
the bunny man.
45 minutes, like an hour away or something.
Don't fuck around with the bunny man.
I feel like the bunny man is just a cover up for
There's
Predator.
A couple movies. There's a couple movies about the bunny man.
Well, okay, I guess we could make one up right now that's real, that is in Rutland.
We'll make one up that's real. Okay.
No, it is real, because we could call him the Catman.
Catman.
The Russian.
I'm about 90% sure that the cat killer was fucking Tyler Stevens, the Rutland rapist.
I don't know if we can say his name, but
why not?
It's too late.
Convicted.
It's too late. It's live.
It
it's
is
up.
True.
It's
on it is there. True.
Yeah.
Basically... Well, no, dude, it's been gone. It went on for so long, though, when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Every couple months, there would be a string of just like someone who would, and it was like a human, would mutilate cats and like hang them from trees and like,
and stuff them in mailboxes.
In people's lawns and stuff them in mailboxes in this like low income area of Kelowna called Rutland. And, the news would be like, Rutland cat killer strikes again.
Yeah.
It was trying times, man.
It was. It was fucking crazy
was
for a while.
Trying
my mom was
times.
On edge.
Trying times to be a cat.
Boots wasn't allowed outside for fucking 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrifying. But so that's
That was a real thing.
It's a real thing. That's a real thing. It's not a, that's urban legend. Well, it could be. Who knows? It could be a fucking demon.
It'd still be out there.
We don't know for sure.
No one ever caught the no one caught the cat killer.
He never confessed to the killings.
No, he didn't. But we're pretty sure.
I think
sure
he confessed to the rapes, but not the cat killings.
Wow.
Well, he got convicted of the rapes.
He definitely
did. I think he pled guilty, so he admitted the rapes, but yeah, not the killings of the cats.
Nope.
We have our, we'll hold out our suspicions. But.
Spookiest part about this, that is that he did it all while wearing a fucking Wendy's bag with holes for eyes.
Yeah, with Wendy's. Yeah, yeah.
No joke, man. Okay, here.
That was a cat killer wearing a Wendy's with a Wendy's bag?
The rapist. The, oh, the rapist. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so here's a little fucking spooky story that's spooky 100% story. True. Yeah. So I played on our local fucking football team called the Okanagan Sun, and right at the end of the year, we got called in for this like emergency fucking team meeting, and all while this whole Rutland rapist fucking saga was going on. And, you know, we get there and they do a big announcement. They're like, fucking, you know, nobody's really, it hasn't been released yet, but you know, Tyler Stevens, your fellow teammate, has been arrested and convicted of being a fucking, the Rutland rapist. And like, this guy's locker was right beside mine.
Ooh.
Like right beside mine. I've known this guy for years. The worst part about this is, like fucking 4 months ago, I'm driving home from work. I worked at a bar. I was a busboy. I'm fucking, you know, driving down the highway, fucking, you know, it's 2:30 in the morning. And I like look to my side and I see my buddy fucking Tyler Stevens sprinting down the fucking street. And I slow my car up and I'm like, man, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just out for a run, man. I'm like, all right, man. Like, you want a ride? He's like, yeah, I'd love a ride.
Whoa.
So I drove him home.
Oh,
no.
I feel like
he
I
was probably
an accomplice
from a rape.
To, yeah, not good. Not good. He may have had a Wendy's bag in his hand, but I don't know.
Sure. This guy, it was like, no one would have thought that he, and because he was a big guy too, big football player, because like, there would be stories about like he would go to a bus stop and like grab a 14-year-old girl and the 14-year-old girl would like kick the shit out of him and get away.
Oh, and he was
everyone
like,
everyone was like, he's a big dude.
Well, he wasn't huge, but he was a starting safety on our football team. And it like the league I played in was kind of like a feeder system for the CFL. So it's not like high level fucking football, obviously, because it's Canadian
though.
Football, but it's like
good football.
It's a decent caliber for Canada. But like this kid is fucking like 6'1", fucking, you know, just shy of 200, if not 200. Not only that though, like, so he's a brick shit house. He's also like a fucking academic fucking monster, like genius, setting records in fucking all throughout school for like grades where math and all that type of stuff. Like, but super big weirdo. He had this big,
you're a fucking psychopath.
Well, it was the weirdest thing. Cause like, you would think like football players, you know, you're covered in bruises and stuff like that, but he'd show up and he was covered in scratch marks and bruises and the weirdest shit. And you'd always be like, what the fuck, man? And he'd be like, oh, you know, my girlfriend, she's into some weird stuff, man. And you'd be like,
catching
cool,
those cats.
Man. Like, oh, it was the weirdest thing.
What was the cats, dude?
Oh, I'm telling you, that's, we put it all together, man.
That's fucked up.
Straight up.
That's fucked up.
Scary thing is, though, is he's actually out of jail, so he could listen to this and I might get fucking.
He doesn't know where you live.
I hope not. Well, he probably does. Yeah. He probably fucking does. I remember there was a couple fucking, like a year and a half ago, we, like everybody, well, not everybody, but all the guys that played on the team, especially like the defensive backs that I played in the same position group as him, we all got like random Facebook fucking requests and we're like, probably not going to accept that one. Probably going to fucking, yeah, no thank you.
Postpone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to go with that guy? But he says, hey, want to go get some pussy? And then she's like,
you guys want to go get some Wendy's?
No thanks, man.
Junior bacon cheeseburgers.
Yeah, JBCs.
Give me, can I keep the bag?
I keep the bag. Oh, no. No, no, no.
That would have been a hilarious Halloween costume in, to go as just a Okanagan Suns, one of those sport jackets and a Wendy's bag with two eyeballs.
No one would get it.
It's topical.
It's only okay now to make these jokes. Like before, we weren't even allowed to mention this guy's fucking name. He was practically Voldemort. I'm serious. Like we weren't even allowed.
Things were tense. Things were tense in Kelowna when like
so
tense.
Well, imagine being on the fucking team.
Yeah,
it was fucking bad, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anyways, what else? Anyway, we got anything else on Halloween?
We went to real life. We did a full spectrum Halloween. Halloween cover.
Yeah,
there.
This one was just about having fun. We're going to be back to our regular conspiracies and UFOs next week. We were just having fun for a little Halloween episode.
Yeah, if you're just listening to this now, like live, have a good Halloween.
Spooky variety hour.
have a good Halloween. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, hopefully you had a good Halloween and you didn't see Goatman,
and you didn't get any candy corn
or any Boo Hags.
If you got candy corn, Wendy's bags, you got candy Reese. Corn though. If you did get candy corn, make sure to send it to Meteor Studios, Kelowna, BC.
Yeah.
Gross. You can keep that with your pumpkin pies and coffee crisps.
Please don't lace it with arsenic, but it doesn't matter. Like, I'll test it. Throw one to Andrew first. Halloween. It's a combination of many generations of traditions. Oh, now it's run by Big Candy, but
Big Candy and Big Farm.
Big Candy, mm-hmm. Big Farms.
Big Plastic.
Yeah.
It's a moneymaker.
Big
and then
Farms,
it's,
Big... The trifecta. Because
they make the farms, costumes, too.
Big Candy. Oh, yeah. Oh,
big costume.
Big costume.
Oh,
awesome.
Let's not talk... Let's not even start about big costumes.
Oh.
Because we can get into that, like, that Predator business, Spirit Halloween.
Spirit Halloween store is open for a month, a year.
Yeah. Wherever a business faults, a Spirit Halloween will open.
It's so true.
Come out of nowhere.
Pop up out of nowhere.
Like, yeah, that was the Toys R Us, and now it's like, boom, Spirit Halloween.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for Halloween. Enjoy your Halloween. Yep. Stay safe.
Have a spooky time.
No, we're not going anywhere first, because let's hit the case file of the week. Or not case file of the week. What the fuck am I talking about? UFO case file of the week. Hit the music, and let's get a fan story.
Fan story. All right. Let's... I lost the randomatron. Oh, there it is. Here we go. Scanning. It's a really loud printer. I'll get a new one eventually. I think I'm going to upgrade to a bubble jet.
The randomatron gets smaller, but the printer stays the same.
Yeah, the printer's, you know.
It's tough. This story is from Rob, and Rob is from Dublin, Ireland.
Dublin. Not a lot of Irish listeners, actually, so that's
No, so that's he's cool. One of a few. Thanks for his story, Rob. He's got two stories. I'm just going to read. I'm going to pick. What do you guys want? Let's go first story. When my mother, Julie, was about 13 or 14, herself and her best pal, Sandra, would hang around Johnny Cullen's Hill, that's in quotations, around the corner from my grandmother's house. The hill was named after the supposed headless horseman who was seen many times traveling back and forth over it. Apparently, the only other place outside of Sleepy Hollow named after a headless horseman. At the bottom of the hill, there was a church known as the Black Church. I'm not sure why it was called this, to be honest, and it's gone now. Below the church, there was a series of underground tunnels and caverns, and this is where my mother and her friend decided to break in one day, just to get up to no good, as kids do. The church had been closed a while by then, and they had to climb under a broken wooden gate to get in. Once in, they headed to the back of the church and down into the tunnels. My mother says while down there, after a while, she needed to go for a pee really badly, so told her friend to wait and keep lookout, even though there definitely wasn't anyone else about. But she remembers that it was still very eerie. While midstream, in quotations, Sandra said, "Hurry up! I hear a noise." With that, instantly from around the corner, one of the connecting tunnels, a very tall man, dressed in all black, wearing a black top hat, appeared and started walking towards them. My mother pulled up her trousers as quick as she could and ran to Sandra. They both stood there, looking at the man, afraid to move because clearly this man was going to be angry they broke in. Maybe an odd caretaker of some kind, they thought. They immediately started apologizing for breaking in and said they'd leave right away, but the man didn't respond. Sandra, being a bit rough and never afraid to speak up, shouted, "Fuck off, you weirdo. We're going, okay?" My mother grabbed her arm to get her attention and to stop her from reacting. Sandra shrugged off my mother's grasp and said to her, "No, I don't care. We're not doing anything wrong. We're leaving now. Anyway, okay?" Right then, my mother, with tears streaming down her face, muttered, "Sandra, look at his feet. Oh, for fuck's sakes, where are his feet?"
Oh, shit.
Sandra looked down, and what they seen wasn't feet, but what looked like horse's hooves. The hooved man took a few steps toward them without making a sound. So in panic mode, they ran as fast away from the man in almost pitch black further into the tunnel, sobbing and screaming all the way, and eventually made their way out into the back gardens of the church. My mother told me they didn't speak much about it that night until they were in their 20s, but both agreed and knew what they had seen. According to my mother, whoever or whatever it was, it certainly wasn't good. Whoo!
Jesus.
Goat man, dude.
It could be Goat Man.
Sandra's a badass, though, hey?
Goat Man rocks the top hat.
Yeah. Listen, everybody's got a game plan until you see horse feet.
It's true.
Or a top hat.
Or a top hat.
Yeah. Fucking rocking a
That's
top hat.
That's terrifying, like, though, man. Like, ugh, I don't like that.
No, that was actually scary.
That's a scary story.
Scary. Woo.
It's a Woo. Good spooky story spooky. For you all on Halloween. You got a theorite of the week?
I got a theorite of the week. These guys have been around a long time. And
dinosaurs.
Going out to T-Rex, baby. This week, the theorite of the week is actually theorites of the week. It's a couple, and they just want to go by Mr. and Mrs. Zeitgeist. They've been supporting on Patreon pretty much since the start. They have sent us pictures from all over the country when they go on road trips. They listen to alien theorists theorizing on their honeymoon pretty much like every episode. They're some of our biggest fans, and I've been meaning to give them a shout out for a long time. So today's the day. Mr. and Mrs. Zeitgeist, the theorites of the week. Cheers.
Right on.
Co-theorites, though.
They're in the top 10 longest supporters, these two. So
right on.
It's awesome. What else we got to do here? The podcast reviews app, I guess our account expired. So that's why there's that's why there's no new reviews.
Yeah, I was going to say something fucky's happened with that. We can't see any reviews.
So we're like a month behind or 3 weeks behind, so we can't really see the new one. So we'll get back to it. There's one on, do you have the Facebook page open, Brayden? There's one I want you to read in a wrestling promo.
Oh, cool.
No, I don't. I'll look on the, while you're reading some Patreons, I'll try to pull it up.
Oh, okay. Patreons. Here's Patreons coming up real quick. We're so quick on the computers now.
Yeah, so quick. Wow.
So quick.
Okay. This is a great thing about live stream is you get to see all these long pauses. We can't cut
all the
out.
Bullshit. I can't even, I don't even have, my phone is dead, so I got to try and do it on the thing. Patrons. Benefits?
For some reason, my computer will never allow me to look. It just loads and loads and loads.
That's okay. While you guys do that, maybe we can go through comments on YouTube. I see some. We got Restream Bot in here giving us stuff from Facebook too. Go back a little bit right here. Here's good. All right. What up from Robinson, Illinois, boys? First time seeing you guys. Love your stuff. Keep it going. Justin Swingler. Thanks, Justin. Claudia Sorrow says, reminds me of what, I guess this is referring to the story, reminds me of what my grandmother saw in her kitchen years ago, cloaked figures, which she described as demon feet sneaking out from underneath.
Oh, shit.
I wonder what, so what are demon feet?
Like a...
Is it hoof feet? Or could it be like
could it be goat
bird
man?
Feet?
Could it be goat man?
It's probably goat
It'd
man.
It'd be goat man? It's goat men.
Goat man.
Goat boy. Let's see. The little red pig says, can meme cat, I guess that's your cat, can be a theorite of the week, or is that illegal? 100% illegal. Cats are not eligible for theorite of the week.
Nope. 100% not. Sorry.
Yeah, I got the 5-star review up. I think it's from Brendan Burmeister.
Is that the one?
Let me tell you something, brother. 5 stars. Awesome podcast. I've listened to every episode and can't wait for new ones to drop. The wrestling references and the ambulance driver stories, yeah, are the best. Brain reading things is one of my favorite segments. You guys give me that comfortable feeling that reminds me of my group of friends. And I feel like hanging out with you would be similar. Would love to hear your takes on the outlaw Jesse James and Billy the Kid conspiracies in the future episodes. I also emailed you guys a personal encounter story a few weeks back. Keep on being too sweet. Lots of love from Wisconsin. Thanks, Brendan Burmeister.
Oh yeah.
I think I saw his story. I didn't read it this time though. Maybe next time. It's in the Randomtron. Queued up.
All right, I got some patrons. It's been actually a good week for patrons.
So our favorite people.
Let's do a quick summary. Patreon is a artist support platform, pretty much, and we're an ad free show. And so how we get by is people donate to the show monthly, and we do a ton of bonus material. Well, I think we're at like probably about almost 70 hours of bonus stuff.
Oh, 100%, man. We got a full another podcast on Patreon.
Oh, dude. And it's getting more every week. So if you want to check it out, you can Alien Theorist or patreon.com/AlienTheoristPodcast, or you can find the link in the podcast description. So this week we're going May with two Ys went up in her pledge. Doc Legless, Kevin Conley, delete. Marcellius the Wise.
Ooh.
Who plays D&D maybe.
Is that Zalarius' long lost cousin?
No, arch fucking nemesis, I think. Oh. Joel Neal, Michael Johnston, Matthew T. Robinson, Mr. Muttley. That's a delete. That's a delete. That's a delete. Oh, big delete. Delete spree. Darius W., Jeff Ventry, Frank Price, and Trent Robertson. Let's do a couple more. I'm not sure where we left off. Luke Dennis, Kid Wonder, and Maria Elena Ruiz. Those are the newest Patreon supporters. What are you laughing at, Dan?
It's great. It's great. Good at reading names.
Thanks, buddy. I've been practicing for 4 years now. Getting better every time.
Yeah, if you're not already on our Patreon, go get on it. It's awesome. Helps support the show. Keep it ad free. We're gonna hold out as long as we can. We don't want to be ads. It's looking good right now, and we're gonna open up a new tier of Patreon. For $1,000, you can send Braden, Zell, and Andrew and Dan to India to get hair plugs. We all want full heads of hair. We're losing it by the minute, and we want to have luscious locks like we did in our early 20s. So our new Patreon tier, $1,000. There's only going to be 100 of you, so get it while you last. And one time only, because once we hit that number and we get the hair plugs, that tier loses its cause forever. So
it's gone.
The hair plug tier is going to be opening soon, $1,000. So
there you go.
You know, and it's just going to help the live stream, really. Yep. So help us help you.
Look better for everybody.
If you want to be the most VIP of VIPs.
Yeah, we're gonna keep the conversation going on to after hours on Patreon only. So if you want to listen to what we say after the show, get to our Patreon, subscribe, and we release them always.
Join us on Discord for after hours. And yeah, gotta say it before we end tonight, doing it every week, trying to. Music of the week. If you got an original band or your original artist, send us your songs. Tell us, we can use them on the stream and we'll be playing them. These are going to be songs you won't hear on Spotify playlists. They're not on the radio. They're for up and coming bands because it's pretty hard to get heard. So I'm trying to do a little service to my fellow musicians out there. So this band's called The Carbons. They've been on the show a couple times before. They're a fellow Kelowna band. Just kind of like it's a rock tune, but more on the indie side, but it's still a good tune. Good friends of ours, check them out on Spotify, Facebook, or wherever. It's called Comforts That Kill. I'll play at the end of the episode. That's all I got.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace.
Hey.
A thousand regrets from rocket fuel nights. 100 cigarettes and 50 Coors Lights. Talking to people I shouldn't be talking to. Now I'm doing the things I swore I'd never do. It was fun though, Sweaty Betty. What do you know, I got any comforts to kill. Devil made me do it. Comforts to kill, poison pill.
Future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.